You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Well, I want to encourage you that we have opened up, I should say Mark Walls has opened up, a new section of our app. Under the teaching part of our app, you'll find sermon notes, and there'll be some helps for you along the way as you bring these rhythms that we're talking about into your life. So I want to encourage you to check that out this week. But that's what we've been talking about, are rhythms. We have rhythms for when we work, when we play, when we eat, when we sleep, when we rest, when we vacation. There is a rhythm and a divine wisdom which runs the entire universe. You think about the seasons. There's a rhythm to this. There's a divine wisdom in the way that God has created it. This week, rumor has it, we're turning to the rhythm of winter. And all of God's people said, exactly. But the good news is the rhythm called spring is getting closer, which brings us into the rhythm called March Madness, and then the rhythm called Augusta National Golf Club. And then there's all kinds of other rhythms that take us from spring into summer into fall. This is beautiful the way that God has done this. We have these rhythms that bring structure and significance and stability into our lives. And this divine wisdom is encapsulated into a saying from Proverbs 4:7, if you have wisdom, you have everything. Seems pretty simple. In fact, what the rabbis did was they pointed to this and they said, okay, you have wisdom, you have everything. A key rhythm for life is the recognition that we need wisdom, and that wisdom comes from knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. The rabbis believed this was a key rhythm for people to learn their story by studying the Scriptures. In fact, it's so important. This rhythm is so important that they said not even the construction of the temple should interrupt the daily reading of Scripture. It's that important for your life. But do we do it? Now, there's a different question. See, I would go so far as to argue this morning that you can't do the Christian life without the wisdom God gives you from His Word. The Word of God provides this kind of wisdom, and the heart of it comes from what we know as the Shema. Say it with me, Shema. You're Hebrew scholars now. Fantastic. The word Shema means to hear. And that passage by which we grab the heart of the Old Testament Scriptures, the hearing of the law, which comes from the Holy Scriptures, from the Word of God, that's what we're going to take a look at this morning. Let's read it together. Here we go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's what's so cool about this word here. Shema. The entire idea is not the vibration of three little bones in your ears by which electrical impulses are sent to your brain. The idea of hearing is something about the Word of God is meant to get down into the guts of who we are. It's supposed to be burned into us. So we not only process it with our mind, but we hear it and embody it in our hearts and we live it in our daily lives. That's what the writer is after. Here's what I want you to imagine this morning. What if you could really do this in your life? To love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Would your life change? Friends, that was underwhelming. Of course it would. Your life would drastically change if you could love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. It presumes that you wouldn't love other things which lead you away from God and into destruction for your life. I mean, at the heart of it, they've really captured, as we dig into the Word of God and we come to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might, our life can't help but change. So today, what I want to do is give you at the front end three keys for how we come to Scripture, and then offer you a process by which you can read Scripture. Sound fair? Let's dig in. Key number one, Scripture is an immediate and inexhaustible source pointing us to God. And you go, well, duh, we knew that. We woke up for that this morning, but do you? Immediately, the Scriptures point us to God. Pastor Susan said it so well this morning. The main character of the Scriptures is God. It points to God. It's all about God and God's love for us and God's will for us and what God has done in the world and what God is yet to do in the world. That's Scripture. And the Scriptures are inexhaustible. Have you had that moment where you return to a passage you studied a year before and all of a sudden the Word of God had something fresh for you? And the Spirit of God met you in that moment and said, oh, you knew this, but what about this? And you went, ooh. Yeah. It's an immediate and inexhaustible source which points us to God. The point of the Scriptures is not to justify your own personal system of beliefs. Rather, it's to lead you to justification in Jesus Christ. More often than not, what we try to do is, well, this is what I think, and how can we bend the Scriptures? No. The Scriptures are meant to bend us. They're meant to bend our will to be God's will. In fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12 says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets down into the guts of who we are. It penetrates us and divides us. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. So we can't say that we love God and yet we hate our neighbor. That's hard. And the beauty of Scriptures as we come to them is that we realize the events of Scripture are inspired by God, so that the writers of Scripture would be inspired by God, so the texts would be inspired by God, so the readers of Scripture would be inspired by God to become holy as God is holy. Now you dig into that and you love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all your might, and you can't help but change, friends. It's an immediate and inexhaustible source which points us to God. Number two, Scripture is not meant to be read like a blog, but burned into us like a tattoo. And you say, whoa, preacher, easy now. Oh, but how many sources of information do we read that we do this? We don't read stuff to get it deep down in you. You read it to scan it for content, for points that you agree with, or points that you want to throw away. The Scriptures are not meant to be read that way. In fact, I would prefer if you stopped reading so much text and instead focused on 10 verses at a time. Because the Scriptures are supposed to be getting down deep into us, to be burned into us, to be inculcated is the word. Cut into our minds and into our hearts. Look at what the Scriptures say. These words today, I command you today, are to be on your heart. Not like, hey. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Notice there's no stopping point to that. So if you have big kids, keep teaching them the Word of God. It's your responsibility. In fact, the idea here is to teach repeatedly, to repeat it so much it gets into their minds and their hearts and they begin to live it in their lives. It's no wonder that our younger folks today, they run off to college. And if there's not enough of the Word in them, what happens? They fall by the wayside. The Scriptures aren't meant to be read like a blog. They're meant to be burned into our hearts and our minds so we live them. So when things happen in our lives that don't go the way that we want, we look upon the Word of God and we recognize He's living and active. It's been cut into us. And finally, key number three, Scripture offers us lots of road signs which keep pointing us back to God. You read the Word of God long enough and you'll have a few of these road signs for your life that help you to remember who God is and what God has done and what God longs for in your life. In fact, the end of the passage tells us, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Jewish people quite literally took this to heart. And so they strap phylacteries onto their heads and meditate on Scripture and encapsulate a Scripture in a mezuzah and put it on the doorframe of their home. So as they cross the threshold every time, they remember this passage that is so formative for them. I know people ask me, well, what's your favorite verse, Brian? That's hard. There's a lot of great ones. But boy, Ephesians 2:8 has sure helped me a whole lot over the years, that you've been saved by grace through faith. And in those moments where I start to get puffed up with pride, I have to remember it's grace that led me there. And in the moments where I fail miserably, and trust me, there's plenty, I remember that it's grace that sustains me. See, these passages, this word, it keeps us pointing back to God, to the intersection of His mercy and His grace, which is new every morning. Well, that's all about how we approach Scripture, but how do we read it? How do we allow the Scriptures to point us to God, to get burned into our hearts and our minds so we live them, and to be signposts that keep pointing back to God? I want to offer you a process or a method today. This is the audience participation part of the program. Are you ready? Hang in there. It's going to be okay. It starts with retreat. What do I mean by that? I mean that you shut everything else off and you open the Scriptures and you decide that this is time for you to be with God. And so you pray. So let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you that in this moment of worship, we're going to engage in the Word of God, that it might be burned into our hearts and our minds and be lived out in our lives. And so we invite you, Spirit of the living God, to come and be here among us and be at work in our lives and make these Scriptures come to life for us. And in so doing, may you raise us from death to life. We're yours, Jesus. It's your time. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Step one, retreat. Step two, you got to read it. Read it aloud, and then we're going to read it again. So to show you that you can apply this process to just about anything, we're going to pick a section of Scripture I seriously doubt you study regularly, Ezekiel. Because you know you went to Zeke this morning for your daily bread. Most of the time not, but I want to show you that you apply this process and you're going to recognize that the Word of God begins to come to life for you, okay? So we're going to read together from Ezekiel chapter 3. Let's read it out loud first, and then we're going to go back through and you're going to read it silently. Are you ready? Here we go. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with the scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel, and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads, like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, all of my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear." Now, as you read it for yourself, I want you to let the Holy Spirit bring some thoughts, some words to mind, and just kind of lock them away right here. Burn them into your mind, burn them into your heart. You ready? All right, here we go. We'll go through this, and you read it silently for yourself. Go. Okay, so we retreated, we read it aloud, we read it for ourselves, now we reflect. What did you hear? What words, images, thoughts, these sorts of things, what came to mind? Shout them out. Go.
The sweetness of God's word.
The sweetness of God's word, good.
Consume it.
Consume it. Pass the word on. Fear not, whether they hear it or not. Good. What else?
Thus says the Lord.
What else?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. What else?
Stubborn.
Love it. What else?
Digest it.
Good. What else?
Clearness.
Clearness. I like it. Good. Yeah, this is what you got from it. Good. What else?
Put it in your heart.
Prepare.
They wouldn't listen.
Boy, that's me sometimes. Anybody else?
Eat a scroll?
Yeah, that's good. I like it. What else? Son of man. Good. It tastes like honey. Nice.
Memorize.
Good. What else?
Live it.
Love it. The importance of community. Okay? Good. There's a lot here, yes? I mean, as you begin to reflect, things come to mind. Have you ever had in your life a word that was as sweet as honey, and then you realize to go and do it would be the hardest thing you could ever do in your life?
Yes.
Come on now. Yeah. Have you ever had to deal with stubborn people? Some of you are being honest, the rest of y'all are lying. Okay, just saying. Yeah, absolutely. What would it look like in your life to be more stubborn than the stubborn people? Now there's one. What would it look like if these words were to come to pass, that we received the word of God in our heart and heard it with our ears, and whether or not people received it or rejected it, we were good either way? Because I guarantee you, this affects the way that we do evangelism. I guarantee you there are so many folks who live in our churches that they're so consumed with what everybody else thinks about them or about what they're doing that it's paralyzing. You're so consumed with what somebody else thinks about you or feels towards you or everything else that it's paralyzing in your life. What if you could simply be the man or woman of God that God would have you to be, and whether or not people heard you or rejected you, you were good either way, because I am who I am by the grace of God. Now we're getting somewhere. See, as we reflect upon the Word of God, as it gets burned into our minds and into our hearts, something begins to change in us. So step one, we retreat. Step two, we read it. Then we read it again. Step three, we reflect. Step four, as you think about the things that you just heard, whether it's fighting too hard for the affirmations of other people, dealing with stubborn people, having something difficult to do in your life that seems insurmountable, the call to go, the call to community. I mean, all these different things that we've heard, I would love for the next minute-ish for you to reveal that to God and for you to ask for His guidance and for His strength. This is your prayer time. Let's pray. Take about another 20 seconds. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us, that you meet us, and that the Word of God changes us. Change our hearts. Strengthen us. And grant us your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we retreat, we read it, we reflect, we reveal it to God. Last step, we respond to it in our lives. See, what I get out of this, at least for me today, is something like this. Sometimes we think that we can't go any farther. And if we trust God, He'll make us a little more stubborn than the struggles we've got. I had a friend who's a retired Army Ranger. So I asked him, what was it like going through that training? He said, well, I'd love to be able to tell you, but I'd have to kill you. And I thought, let's not go there. He goes, I know how to kill you with a ping pong ball. I definitely don't want to see how that works. There we go. See, there it is. And he said, here's the thing that I learned, generally speaking. Everybody comes in and they think I need to be stronger, smarter, faster, better shooter. I mean, all these different things. Really what I learned, the key principle, the key takeaway was this. All I need to be able to do is just take one more step. And if I can focus on the next step, and the next step after that, and the next step after that, it turns into lunch. And if I can focus on the steps in the afternoon, that turns into dinner, and that turns into a day. And if I keep doing that day after day after day after day, I'm going to make it. And that's not just true for training, that's true in all of life, and this is true in our walk with God. When we get the Word of God into us, and it gets burned into our minds and into our hearts, we can take the next step even when there seems to be no way. Yes? Even when it seems like we've been given a word that's as sweet as honey and it's impossible, we can take the next step. Even when we're sent to deal with stubborn people, we can become more stubborn than they are if we can just take the next step. You did this over a period of 10 minutes today. 10 minutes. What would it look like if you incorporated this rhythm of 10 minutes into the beginning of your life every day? Because here's the thing, folks. We got too many Christians who don't know and don't read the Word of God. And if it doesn't get burned into your heart and into your mind, how do you expect to take the next step? You can't. You care more about what the world thinks about you or your neighbor thinks about you or being popular or anything else. And yet what the Word of God says to us this morning is, look, you're going to deal with some tough people. And some of them are going to like you and some of them, they're going to hate you. In the end, what really matters most is whether or not you're faithful to what God says. And unless you get the Word into your life, unless that rhythm exists for you every morning, it doesn't happen. It's why you struggle. Because there's no signposts. There's nothing emblazoned on your heart. There's no source immediately and exhaustively pointing you towards God. I don't care what the news says. I don't care about politics. I don't care about any of this crap. We got to get the Word of God into us. That's who drives us. That's who leads us. If you're reading more blogs than you are your Bible, there's something off. And I'm going to be that bold in sharing it with you today. 10 minutes will absolutely transform your life by getting the Word of God into you. And it fascinates me that every year the New York Times bestseller is the Bible. It's been translated into hundreds of languages. We've got millions of copies. It's on our phones. It's on our shelves. You can buy it at Walmart. You can get it at Amazon. And yet it goes underread, unacknowledged, unappreciated, mistranslated, misapplied, because people are misinformed. And it is the one book, friends, you don't read the Bible to finish. You don't read the Bible to finish, friends. You read the Bible to change. So I challenge you, a people who I dearly love this morning, I challenge you to start your day with the rhythm of 10 minutes. 10 minutes in the Word of God. Because I guarantee you, you start the best part off with God in your day, those 10 minutes will change your life. If you need resources, they're all in our teaching notes. Talk to Nora, talk to Francis, talk to me. We'd be glad to help you and point you in a direction. But I guarantee you, this rhythm, it'll change your heart and it'll change your life. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for getting me just a little fired up this morning about the Scriptures. And Lord, as this Word, as it gets into us, that it changes us. As these words become emblazoned on our hearts and in our minds, we become emboldened to be not just hearers of the gospel, but doers as well. And this is what changes the world. Your Scriptures remind us that you created it, that you're redeeming it, and that you will make it anew. Tomorrow, when the alarm clock goes off, and we think that the coffee maker should be the first priority, or flipping through our phone and the evening's emails, or to turn on the news for the latest happenings, God, help us to look to one source and one alone, these holy Scriptures which you've given us. And Lord, in reading them, may they give each one of us the heart of Christ. This is our prayer, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.